Hey you guys, welcome back to Tomes of Terror. It's my book review series. Now, as you guys might remember, I had actually read, quite enjoyed, and reviewed a 2019 kind of sci-fi-ish horror novel, which was called Intercepts by TJ Payne. Not too long ago, I feel like it was maybe last month or the month before that. So when the same author, TJ Payne, when their follow-up book, which is called The Venue, a wedding novel, came out in 2020, popped up in my Kindle Unlimited recommendations that I love so much, I was immediately kind of intrigued by the whole thing. The cover is like really, really cool. It's very, very stark. It's very eye-catching, like with this black and white checkered floor and a chandelier, like with blood on the floor and everything. And I did actually read like a brief synopsis, like it was a sentence or two. And it kind of made the story sound something like that 2019 kind of black comedy horror film, Ready or Not, which I really, really liked a lot. And I was like, oh, that sounds like a fun time. So I dove right into this book, The Venue, and ended up reading the entire 296-page novel in a single sitting, like in a single afternoon. So this book is just fun, brutal, gory, blackly hilarious. Like it has like a really dark sense of humor, and it's just like really, really action-packed, and I had an absolute blast with it. Now the premise of it is kind of outlandish, but that's kind of part of what makes it like such a fucking hoot. Yes, it is kind of similar to Ready or Not, like sort of, and also has some shades of stuff like Battle Royale or maybe like The Purge. So if that sounds like something that you would be into, then this is an easy recommendation. Like I said, I had a fucking blast with this one. It was just so much fun. So in the prologue of The Venue, we're kind of inside the mind of this dude named Caleb, and he's trying to compose an invitation email to somebody named Amy, like he's trying to invite her to his wedding. Now, it's kind of clear from his multiple drafts that he and Amy used to be best friends, that they drifted apart at some point, like maybe when they became teenagers or whatever, that he still is maybe kind of carrying a torch for her, and also that he has a lot of resentment and maybe even despises her for the way that he imagines that she treated him. So there's that kind of thing. We then jump to someone who's only ever referred to as the event planner. It's just like this woman. You never find out her name or anything like that. And she's at the venue, like obviously getting the place up to snuff for what you're assuming is the upcoming nuptials that, you know, that Caleb was inviting Amy to. Now, the event planner, in a very nice little bit of kind of foreshadowing, I guess, the event planner notices something on the ground, which turns out to be a severed human ear. Very, very blue velvet. I liked that little homage there. So she's just kind of like very irritated by the whole thing, scoops the ear up, as you would, and tucks it away into a staff member's pocket before the arrival of the happy couple, who are Caleb and his wife-to-be, whose name is Lilith. So the event planner then escorts the pair of them into the office to kind of finalize the plans for their big day. So we then cut to Amy, who seems to be, I don't know if I'd necessarily say she's having a hard time, but she's kind of like obviously at a big crossroads in her life. So she's just broken up with her longtime girlfriend, Mariko. And even though the two women are still friends, Amy has decided to move out and like move into a studio apartment on her own, like in order to get some space. She doesn't, and you know, the way that she talks about the apartment, it's obvious she doesn't really have a lot of money. She's like a yoga and dance instructor, so she's not rolling in loot, and a lot of the furniture and stuff would belong to her girlfriend. So she's kind of having to restock this tiny little place, and she's like, man, it's kind of sad, but whatever. Now, she was invited to Caleb's wedding, like, months before, maybe even a year before, because I think they say something about, like, they need a year to plan or something like that. And her and Mariko, you know, who were still together then when they got the invite, are still planning to go to the wedding together because, like I said, they're still friends. Now, Amy's parents, whose names are Roger and Candace, are also invited because Caleb, like, grew up, like, as a kid across the street from them, so he knew the entire family. So they don't think it's that strange that he, like, invited her parents as well. Now, the wedding is a really, really fancy, like, destination shindig, right? All expenses paid by the couple, like the flights, transportation, everything. Accommodations and the whole nine yards. So honestly, like Amy, Mariko, and her parents, they're like, well, like a free vacation, like all expenses paid? Yeah, sign me up. You know what I mean? You know, it's going to be like this big luxurious whatever. And they're just like, yeah, awesome. You'd be stupid to like turn that down, right? But I mean, they think it's a little bit weird because they're like, look, we haven't even like really talked to Caleb like in a really long time. And they're not really sure like why he would invite them to the event. But they're like, well, hell, maybe he's just inviting everybody. And, you know, Amy was like, well, we were best friends when we were kids. So maybe it's not that weird. But they're also a little weirded out by the fact that the location of the wedding is not disclosed. All they know is that it's somewhere in Europe and that a limo will come like on the day before and pick them up. And then like from then on, everything will be taken care of, like all of their transportation. There's gonna be like a private plane and all this other kind of stuff. So they think it's like really weird. Oh, and another thing too, is that like the email invite they got, like it erases itself like after like a day or two, because Amy tries to go in there and find the original one and she can't find it anymore. And it's like, basically you go to this weird website to like RSVP and it basically says, okay, like we're gonna, and then you know what I mean? So, and then it doesn't really tell you any information. So they're like, that's a little odd, but whatever. Like I said, free European vacation, they're here for it. So after traveling for many, many hours, the four of them arrive at the venue, which is this really breathtaking spread. I think it's somewhere in the Alps, it seems. I think it's maybe Switzerland or something like that. So lots of the other wedding guests are already there. And Amy, like when she's in the lobby, like they're doing the check-in and everything, and she recognizes a few of them. Like, in particular, she recognized like a couple of teachers from the school that her and Caleb went to, like when they were kids. And we're talking like elementary school type thing. And Amy thinks this is a little bit weird. She's like, why would he be inviting like our third grade teacher, who I thought he didn't like her and all this other kind of stuff. Also, a little bit of a red flag that all the guests are actually asked to surrender all of their electronic devices. No cell phones, no tablets, no anything when they check in. You know, the venue is like, that's the rules. It's like our whole thing is like, we really value our privacy and we really value the exclusivity of this place. Like it's this big like luxury resort. It's like, we don't want any pictures of it leaking out. We don't want anyone knowing what the location is because it's supposed to be really private. That's what people pay for. And you know, they're just like, and we think that you guys will have a better time if you, you know, surrender. It's like, obviously we'll keep them all locked up for you and you'll get them back like after the wedding and blah, blah, blah. Now, a couple people protest, but, you know, they're just kind of like, well, what are you going to do? That's the rules. And the thing about it too is that it's easy to kind of like look past that because they give everybody like this electronic wristband type thing that, you know, opens their room and all that kind of stuff, like hotel room. And it also gives them full access to all of the venue's amenities, of which there are many. And it's all like top of the line, like luxury stuff. All the food is free. All the booze is free. There's, you know, swimming pools and day spas and movie theaters. And you can just wander all around this huge complex and do whatever you want to, like on the day before the wedding, and it's just like everything is free, everything is done for you. All you have to do is like ask and they'll give it to you, which of course seems too good to be true, and indeed it is. When the time of the wedding arrives, they have the wedding like in this little chapel type thing. So Caleb and Lilith are getting married and they wrote their own vows, and they're something else. Like they're pretty fucking weird. And everyone's just like watching this wedding going, okay. Like some of the shit they say was like really, really weird. And they seem to, like a lot of their vows seem to be like mostly talking about, you know, yes, how they found each other and stuff, but they're also talking about like how aggrieved they are, like how everybody like shit on them and now we have all this money and blah, blah, blah. So it's just that kind of thing. And it's just like really weird and makes everybody uncomfortable. So then like after the ceremony is over, like all the guests go into the ballroom for the reception. Now they go in there and it's like in this, just looks like a regular big ballroom, obviously, that's set up for a wedding, except on one wall is mounted like all of these very, very sharp looking medieval style bladed weapons, which is again a little bit weird. So as should be evident by now, Caleb and Lilith have essentially spared no expense in order to get everybody here to the venue everybody that they feel that has wronged them in their lives in any way. Now, it's not necessarily to kill them, because that would be, like, too easy. What they actually want to do, these two psychos, they actually want the guests to kill each other, to watch them become, like, the monsters that Caleb and Lilith have always perceived them as, like, in their crazy delusional minds. So this, like I said, it's a fantastic, fantastic setup. And once the gloves come off and they announce to everybody, like, what the deal is, the entire novel is just this one big, long, bloody, like, roller coaster ride as all the guests are, like, struggling to survive the night. So the rules are pretty simple. All each guest has to do is kill one other person. Doesn't matter who it is. If they kill one other person, then that guest will be free to go. Although their memory of the event is going to be wiped, like with some pharmaceuticals, like before they leave, so they can't tell anybody else about this place. Now, if they try to escape the venue, like if they try to go outside, the electronic bracelet on their wrist will detonate, which will blow their arm off. And there's also the possibility that over the course of the night, even if like another guest doesn't kill them, then the bride and groom are also within their rights to pick off people as they see fit, if they have a good time or like enjoying themselves, if the mood strikes them, which it does on many, many occasions. So as I said, this concept is like pretty straightforward, pretty simple, but it's just loads and loads of real fucked up fun. And the whole focus on Amy, you know, Amy's ex-girlfriend Mariko and Amy's parents really kind of like ups the stakes, because you're really kind of like rooting for them to find a way out of this mess somehow. Now, some of the story too is told from Caleb's point of view, and those parts are kind of stomach turning, like I said, because he gives off a real incel vibe, like some Elliot Rodger type shit, like the way he thinks. Because his whole thing is, even though by all appearances, he has seemingly overcome his childhood awkwardness, like all the people picking on him and bullying him and stuff like that, and has actually become a tech billionaire, like hence his ability to afford this thing that he's doing, he still keeps harboring these like festering resentments against anyone who slighted him even a tiny bit, like in his entire life. And a lot of his perceptions of things are really skewed or really warped, like of people's motives. Like he thinks that people were picking on him like on purpose when like they weren't even thinking about it. Like it was just more thoughtlessness. He just thinks everything is directed at him. And Caleb has spent the last couple of decades really apparently weaving this narrative that his childhood best friend, Amy, abandoned him so that she could go chase boys that he felt were inferior to him. Like I said, very, very Elliot Rodger. The fact that she's a lesbian never seemed to occur to him, because it seems as though he felt entitled to, because he was in love with her, he felt entitled to have his feelings for her reciprocated. And when they drifted apart, like as teenagers, because she was kind of like, you know, pursuing girls and stuff like that and wasn't really interested in romantic relationships with men, he perceived that as like, oh, she abandoned me, I wasn't cool enough for her and stuff like that. And he's like been harboring this resentment this whole entire time. And then, like, when he meets Lilith, he kind of found, like, a match made in hell, because Lilith is a lunatic. She is just, like, a stone-cold psychopath, and she was very easily able to manipulate Caleb into going all in on this revenge wedding by essentially, like, feeding his feelings of entitlement and superiority, which she also shares, although to a much greater degree. Like, she's a lot more extreme than he is, but he's too kind of cowardly to stand up to her, because, and she knows how, like, how to push his buttons. Now, though the venue, you know, the novel is slightly lighter on character development, it's kind of more focused on the unfolding carnage and, like, the action. I actually didn't really mind that one bit. I thought the characters were sketched in just enough, like, to keep the story interesting and keep you pulling for the good guys, and also hoping that the bad guys would get their comeuppance, like, in the most savage way possible, like, by the end. The main protagonist, Amy, was actually like a particular highlight, I thought. She seemed very much just like a regular kind of messed up woman who is, you know, kind of at a shitty place in her life, but relatable still. But she gets thrust into this deadly situation and is obviously, like, way out of her depth. But as the night goes on, she's kind of able to tap into hidden reserves of strength in order to try and save the day, like save the people that she loves. So the venue, I mean, it's not particularly deep or thought-provoking or anything like that, but it doesn't pretend to be anything other than what it is, which is this just great over-the-top, darkly funny, like bloodbath of a novel that's just taking you on this crazy breakneck journey through a world in which, you know, the ultra wealthy, like this guy, Caleb, can basically choose to stage their weddings or family reunions or gatherings or whatever as barbaric fights to the death. Like, let's invite everybody we hate and make them, like, kill each other. And a world in which there are purpose-built venues that will cater to their every whim in that regard that will, like, do that for them. To be honest, it wouldn't shock me if that turned out to be true, if some places like this did exist. That wouldn't shock me the slightest. So I'll know if I ever get, like, an email invitation, like some mysterious invitation from somebody I barely remember that, like, offers to fly me to Europe for free, like, and with free food and booze and stuff. I think I'll turn that down, like, especially after reading this one. But yeah, this is super fun. If you just want a really fun, gory bloodbath that, you know, is just like a real quick read, very action-packed, then this is definitely, definitely really, really fun. I had a lot of fun with this one. So that'll do it for this Tomes of Terror, and I will see you guys again on the next one. Bye!